We've got Lori Michaels on the show today.
I'm looking forward to meeting her.
Let me ask you, go way back in your memory in like 2006, 2007, we did a World AIDS concert in St. Pete at the Palladium Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an 11-hour show with all different people. And for some reason, I feel like I remember introducing you, but am I wrong?
I don't know. Was I at that one? Oh, yes, I was at that one. Yeah.
I think you were.
Yeah. And but I don't, maybe we briefly met, like you introduced me to her.
Maybe. Because I think she was like the headlining act. And she pulled me up on stage behind the curtain and did a little grinding. And it went on our YouTube page, and it's got a lot of views. I gotta tell you, it's got a lot of views.
Is it still there?
I believe it is still there. It's hard for me to watch. I was a nervous wreck. I can't even tell you. And then Donna got up there, and then all the dancers were dancing around us, and it was like, oh, one of those, do I touch? Do I not touch? Am I just looking? Am I not allowed to touch? It was just like absolutely hilarious. It was such a good time. It was probably one of the most tired events like I've ever done. 11 hours is a long time to be on stage.
That's a long time.
And it was, and they raised a lot of money. I just remember it being like a really long day. But the funniest thing, like, and then we worked again with Lori a lot of times in Key West. And mm-hmm. like I told you before, like, she was just such a consummate professional, you know, like, and it was really funny because, like, I think it was her that maybe like taught us about riders in your contract.
Yeah.
You know? And so then we were like, well, what do you guys get? And she was like, well, like, you know, a case of water and like, you know, a bowl of fruit in the room. And me and Donna were like, holy crap, we got like M&Ms and Pringles. That's how you knew we weren't dancing. We had M&Ms, Pringles, and Coke, you know? So yeah, very, very different, time there.
I usually just requested a place where I could look in a mirror and fix, you know, because I didn't always get that. A lot of times the drag queens got all the stuff to put your makeup on in the dressing room, and
lighted,
I didn't get any
mirror.
Yeah, they got the makeup mirror with the lights in their own dressing room, and I didn't get any of that. So just a place to fix was nice for me. I wasn't
four cement walls.
Right.
Four cement walls, awesome.
Right.
Yeah, that's hilarious. We always just brought our own stuff. We never, you know, I think at one point we finally did put a rider in about stairs, and that was after that gig, that World AIDS gig, because that was in a theater and there was a lot of stairs back there, like up and down and up and down and up and down, you know, checking on the next performance, you know, person, then coming back down the stairs and
right
down into the audience and coming back up on this. It was a wreck, man. My feet were killing me, but it was, it was all worth it. And I just look back on all those gigs, and they were like 2007, 2008, 2009. And I don't really know that we did too much live stuff in 2010. I think we kept it local,
mm-hmm.
Fort Lauderdale Pride and stuff like that. But all the times that we worked in Key West, we were always worked with Lori, and that was always like the best, you know, even though it was like hot, sweaty, ridiculously sweaty work, you know, it was worth it. Like, we always had such a good time. And when it was over, we always had like a day or two to ourselves to just enjoy the pool, enjoy the, you know, the atmosphere, go to like a couple of nice restaurants, eat, really just like chill out, like after being wound up for two or three days straight of because Pearls was a big deal back then. Pearls Guest House was like the exclusive lesbian resort, and we did quite a few things there. And then we moved on to like Southernmost and a couple other places. And it was always like a really good event. Women's Fest was one of the things I looked forward to, I think, every year. So good.
I never did Pearls. I never did Women's Fest. I always wanted to. And I always like was too late in submitting and getting
it. Oh yeah. Cause it's a weird time. It's in like September.
Right, right. And you had to submit way early. Like I was always in the Pride Fest in Wilton Manors and the one by the War Memorial by Sunrise Boulevard. But I just never thought early enough. And then every time I submitted, it was like too late. So yeah, that's so me.
That's funny. We always, I think we worked a lot. Well, Girls at Gay Days was another good gig.
And yeah.
That was the one we had you headlining. I think that was when it was at, the Royal? No.
Yes.
Was it at the Royal or was it at the Girls Hotel?
It was at, I don't remember. It was the one by the pool. We were poolside, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was like the step up because the first one we did was at like a Hamptons Inn. And it was like really lowbrow. And then we got moved to like I think it was called the Regal Hotel. And it was nice. Like it was really nice. And the pool area was fantastic. And we always worked with like a great group of girls. Like we had a good DJ at the time. We had good, there's Lori now popping in. We had good people. I mean, honest to God, I look back and I go, you know what? We were fucking blessed, man. We were really blessed to work with like really good people at live events because, you know, doing our show is no big deal. But when you go out there and you got to be in front of people and keep them hopped up and everything, like that was a good time. All right, I'm going to bring Lori in and see what her memory is of those days. Like, they were shit. They sucked. All right, let's bring on Lori Michaels. There she is.
Okay, don't laugh. I am in my car right now.
Not the first time.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the parking lot of my performing arts center in the car because once I enter that building, I'm double masked. And whether I'm in my office or in a studio, you know, and then I just didn't want like, you know, kids knocking on the door. Hey, Miss Lori. Or, you know, somebody bothering. So I said, let me just sit in my car and call you from my car right in the parking lot so that I could, like, you know, and I wanted to do, I'm doing my JD sunglasses right now.
I'm the only nerd without shades. I feel like I need to go get shades, man.
You have to. You have to. So, you know, I watched the show, your last episode. And I saw JD was in these really cool shades. And I was like, oh, I gotta get a cool pair of shades and rock them out like she does. Then when you guys were talking about the Italian household, I felt like I was like, you know, just right in on the conversation, you know, living with the grandparents and the, right. You didn't mention the plastic on the couch or anything, but
right.
I know we were all together.
Lori, did you have a Clara? Did your mom tell you that you couldn't do things because this one got hurt?
I was just going to ask her if she had a Clara in her life.
Listen, my mom, the thing about my mom is that even when I was facing forward, if she was in front of me, I could still see that look in her eye. She never had to turn around. I could tell. So that I didn't need a Clara or anybody else. I had the fear of if my mom turned around and gave me that look, it was over. It was done.
Yeah.
Done for me.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I'd go running to my grandmother.
Yeah. I still get the look, Lori. I still get the look from my mom. It doesn't matter how old I am.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, no, we don't care. So they don't care either. They and they'll still give that look.
Yeah.
Threaten you. Mom, like, how are you guys?
We're hanging in. I mean, it is what it is over here. This is like our third lockdown and it is like it's the hardest one. Like I tell JD week after week, I'm at my lockdown low, you know? Like sweatpants, no makeup, like eating shit food, not wanting to leave the house for like even to go, like we've been out of bananas for 3 days. That's not normal. It's not going out to get the bananas. It's not. There's too many variants.
I'm going to send you some bananas. I feel awful.
Thank you. And it looks like she's in Florida. Nothing's closed. Everybody's doing their own
thing. Right. They're doing the conga line down the street with no masks on. It's really kind of annoying.
I thought I saw you on the news screaming at them. I thought that was you.
I took pictures. I was going to post, but I didn't post because do I want to be that person? I don't know.
Yeah, we got like big issues going on here with like, not here, like in my little neck of the woods, but I read these articles or I see it on the news where neighbors are turning in neighbors. Now you can get fined if you're gathering like more than three people or something in a household. So they're just calling the cops on their neighbor because like they they saw people going over next door, you know. It's like, ooh, it's getting bad, man. Got narcs on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring a damper on our discussion on this upbeat show, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And we have to make this better. This has got to get better. And unfortunately, you know, it just seems like with these new variants and stuff that we're going to be in for a rude surprise again, I think. I just hope we can get it together.
Yeah. I
hope
mean,
and pray I, that, I, that we all could come together.
I'm not happy with the fact that they're just calling it the UK variant. You know, like I feel like if I come back, people are going to give me a hard time. You know, like, don't bring a new variant, you know.
But you're being the most careful, so
we are now. we are now. Bless. But it's only because it was discovered here. It's not that somebody brought it over.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Right.
So, like, I just want to keep that clear, so I don't get my ass kicked when I finally.
We know it's not you, Denise. It's okay. We know it's not you. Okay. We won't blame you. We won't hold you accountable for the entire world. Going to shit.
My fear. This is what keeps me up at night.
Yeah.
What's it like in Jersey, Lori? Are there restrictions? What's going on there?
Yeah. Oh, of course there are, but you know, are people following the restrictions? Yeah. The people that are smart are. But you know, I don't even know what to say about what it's like. Greatest example is I'm coming in my car because my only spot in my car and in my house is the only time that I take my mask off. Wow. And I'm right now, like when I don't have an N95, I'm double mask, surgical mask and another mask on top of that.
Same.
And it's. And it's like, you know, you can't, for everybody that says like, it, you know, it's okay, you know, or, oh, I got it. I was fine. It's not that bad. It was like the flu, you know, like, what are you going to be an idiot and go home and then be with your mother or your grandmother? And how could you live with yourself?
Yeah.
You know, and
this blatant disregard for human life. It's maskless people right now offend me. To the point of like, I feel like I could like literally chew through my own jaw. Like when I see it, honestly, the one time that I went out, I had this guy come up to me on the street, no mask. You got a pound? Do you have a pound I can have? I was like, first of all, no, I don't.
Here's a mask. Let's start again.
I only have a debit card, so I don't have a pound, but put a mask on. Jesus. So
well, Denise, maybe you could be that person. You could walk around handing out masks.
Well,
you
know, I'm gonna when JD
and money apparently. Apparently they think you're
pounds.
Right.
Yeah. When we get the Whiskey Rock Lounge masks, that's when I'll start handing.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
right. We're working on those.
Throwing them from the balcony, if you will, tossing them from the balcony,
standing on the street, throwing them out at people. So, Lori Michaels, I have been filling JD in on our escapades. And first of all, this is like a reunion.
Oh, I love that you call them that, escapades.
Escapade, because they kind of were. But I was doing some math in my head. And we're talking 12, 13, 14 years of history we have here. And it's this reunion is like 14 years in the making.
I mean,
you guys go way back.
Yeah, we're close to it. Yeah, we do. We go way back.
I just reminded you that we did World AIDS Day in 2007 in St. Pete at the Palladium, and JD performed as well, but it was an 11-hour day, so I can't even remember all the other people except for you two.
World AIDS Day 2007. Yeah, so that had to be with Melody and Jamie, I think.
Yes.
If I'm not correct. Yeah, me and the girl. Was Betty on that bill with us too? Was that might have been Betty on the bill with us? It was in St. Pete.
Yes. Yes, Betty was there. Yes.
Yes.
But that was quite the day and quite the video.
Yeah, because you and Donna, we grabbed you up to dance for the Last Dance medley.
Yeah,
as we love to do.
You know, when you're in the strip club thing and you're like, touch, not touch, do touch, not touch. Oh my God, I'm touching, I'm just gonna touch. So
I have to look that video up now.
Oh yeah.
Now that you're talking about
that, that's one of the ones that has the most views on our page. I'm almost certain it's up there.
Oh, I have to watch it now too then.
So much fun. But yeah, every time like a picture comes up in my memories on Facebook, it's always me fondling you. And I'm like, God, I was like a predator. Good times, man.
How funny. You're so sweet.
You can get away with that now.
Not too much.
So tell us. Whoa. Uh-oh.
Oh, what happened?
Snow in there. We lost your picture. I got to know.
I have to show you in when Lori comes back, in honor of Lori being on and all of this pride memory. I'm drinking the absolute pride vodka. And look at the glass, Denise. I put some peach schnapps in it.
You, man.
Hang on.
JD's showing us her drink. I feel like a lowbrow hooker.
So, in honor of you being on, Lori, and all of our pride memories, I've got the Pride Absolute drink with some peach schnapps. It's pretty good.
Oh, man.
On the rocks.
Jets on fire.
This is the Pride edition for 2020.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're in your car, so you can't be drinking, but you're in your car in a very important place, because this is kind of a cool thing that you've got going on here with these little tots, teaching these little tater tots how to dance.
we have a full performing arts center that from kids, teens, and adults, first timers to professionals such as myself and JD and you as well. And it's everything from dance, music, fitness, and more. We're just so lucky that we've been able to adapt and figure safe measures during this time. We're on limited services, limited people, but mask all the time, social distancing.
Yes.
We have small groups, and we have virtual stuff going on as well. I mean, I can't wait for the day to be able to go to a theater, go to Broadway shows again, to go to a concert and just get back to this. I know, JD, you're probably, same thing. I mean, just like performing and being with people and hugging somebody. Sure. I wish I could reach out and hug you guys right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Social distancing.
Laura, you guys did the Nutcracker virtually.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you for mentioning that, because my ballet director here, we pulled that off, and I still don't know how that came out so well without a glitch. I mean, we had like zero budget, but we had these kids and these families that wanted so much to participate. We had a virtual one of our students was even in Colombia, like the country, and we had other students from their homes. We were able to kind of weave this in to have this Nutcracker virtual streaming thing go on, and I was just so proud and so happy that we were able to pull that off, and it just was such something that the kids looked forward to, and we did as well. We needed that, so I'm so happy that it came out. And thank you for mentioning that, because it was like something that for us, you know, to be able to pull that off, especially now at these times.
Yeah.
You know, I think the we were on like a skeleton crew, and like I said, my ballet director really and her husband, like just everybody chipped in to just make sure that the kids could see this through. And you know, we're doing some streaming things and doing some other creative things, but that was something that I'm so happy that actually worked out. And what else can we do right now?
Step them up. Everybody, it's like, it's amazing.
We had
good old Donna and the other Denise, who she works for now, on talking about how they've mm-hmm. had to adapt with their, they work for Centerlink, which kind of links up like over 200 different LGBT community centers, and everything virtual and Zoom and webinars and WebEx. And it's just, it's amazing in these times. Like, you know, me, Jay, you can attest to this. Like, we didn't even know we were Zoom newbies when we started.
Yes. Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
Look at us now.
Look at us now.
Look at how far we've come.
You guys have something in common. Like, JD played at an NFL football game, and you sang a national anthem at a WNBA game. Like, you guys are singing for professional athletes.
Yeah, yes. I sung at some NFL, NBA as well. I did the New York Jets, the New Jersey Nets, the Devils, Stanley Cup playoffs. The anthem is one of my favorite like things to do. And, you know, like I've coached, the thing now is I'm coaching kids and they're performing. Like, one of my students from the same hometown as me, like she sang at the US Open. She won a contest that I had no influence on whatsoever, I mean, I add. And she won the contest to sing at the US Open. So it was like the celebrities were there. It was Serena Williams' match. Oh, and, you know, God. She did America the Beautiful. So amazing. And like other students of mine, you know, they performed all over. And those are big songs. You know, JD, when you go and you sing the national anthem or America the Beautiful or God Bless America, and you have no music and you're there a cappella, no band, no track. And everybody has to pay attention, you know, so...
All eyes on you.
Yeah. The biggest thrill for me now is seeing these kids do it. And, you know, like saying, wow, like how amazing that I'm able to help them in some small way to have these opportunities. But JD, when did you do the NFL stuff?
I did Indianapolis Colts, but I was invited. It was an unusual situation. I was invited to perform Thanks to the Brave, which is a song I wrote when I was on tour performing for the military at the bases. And so I was one of the shows I mentioned on the show, one of our shows, I mentioned how I don't know anything about football. So I got an email from a girl saying, I'm a professional cheerleader and I'd like to sing your song, Thanks to the Brave, on a tour we're doing for the USO. So I said, okay, I need to speak with whoever's in charge of the show and the tour. So the woman calls me and she tells me that she's from the Indianapolis Colts. And I was on a trip back from performing in Georgia and I had the guys with me in my Jeep. And I go, are the Colts a college team? Because this lady is calling me from the Colts. The Indianapolis Colts are like, are you freaking kidding me? And so anyway, it turned out this girl, Allison, she was the one that made it all happen because she wanted to sing my song. So I sent her my song without my vocal. So it was like the karaoke track of my song, Thanks to the Brave. Yeah. And then to thank me for letting them have the track, they invited me to sing at their Veterans Day game, which they had 100 soldiers on the field behind me.
Wow,
it was
awesome.
Really a cool thing because it was totally really not about, it was about the feeling that day. It wasn't really about me per se, but there were the soldiers behind me. And then I sang Thanks to the Brave with a track, but you know what happened? And you could probably relate to this, Lori. We did the dress rehearsal in the morning and it was cold out and we did a sound check and I had a speaker that was a monitor. And then when I get there, the day warmed up and they took the top off the stadium. They opened up the stadium. So I'm like, how am I going to hear this now? It was a whole totally different, you know, dynamic now, because now I'm never going to hear that monitor. So it was a little hard to hear the track, but it was fun. It was really nice. And they recorded it for me, which was nice of them. So I have a video of that performance. But yeah, that was 2011. I think I did that in 2011.
So I got to check that out, JD. I got to check that out. That sounds awesome.
Thank you. It's on my website. We got to hang out with the cheerleaders all day in the cheerleaders locker room. Only thing we didn't have access to were the players' locker room, but we had a full, Kelly came with me. I had a travel buddy with me, but I couldn't bring the band. So we had full access except for the guys' locker room, but we were with the girls. So it was pretty cool.
All the better.
I have a picture. I have to look for it somewhere. All the sinks, like in all the blow dryers and the makeup and stuff, like when they got ready and then ran out to do their thing. I took a picture of that. Like, it was cool.
That's important.
That sounds like my life on tour with the girls, right, Denise? Yeah.
You know this. You're telling JD, like, if it weren't for you, I would never know what riders were. We get like, you know, like a case of water and some fruit. Me and Donna are like, oh, Pringles, M&M's, Coke. Yeah, you could tell who was dancing.
We were pretty low maintenance though. Yeah, we usually the case of water and so a few things. We didn't do specific color M&Ms or anything crazy like that. Oh,
yeah, we wouldn't have got crazy. We'd be happy with just a bag of M&Ms. It's amazing. I just like think back of those days, like I just, because we were so not used to doing things live, because you know, doing the podcast was just in my little converted spare bedroom / studio. So we would be in like pajama bottoms and t-shirts because no one's gonna see it, you know. So when
ahead of your time.
Yeah, when we had live things, we were like, oh god damn, we gotta step up our game, man. Like we gotta get shirts. Like we gotta.
But
get...
you guys were so great for live stuff and so much fun. Like you jumped, like the fact that you guys jumped on that stage with us and started dancing, that was awesome. Like I love that.
Yeah, that was that, and pretty much like all your gigs that we were at least nearby, we would kind of butt in somehow.
We would make you, because we would call you guys out and be like, okay, come on now.
here we go. That's hilarious. It's so different over here, like to do a live event over here, because British people are so polite. It's like I had to mind my P's and Q's for the first couple L-Fests that I did, and then I started like hosting different parts of it instead of being on the main stage, which was fun. And the fact that I was able to get Donna over here to London to do L-Fest on the main stage was, you know, that was like, we'll never forget that. Like that was incredible.
That's cool.
After that, I started hosting like crazy. Like I hosted the cinema and we would do like all different movies and web series and things like that. But then I decided to host a lip sync contest, and that is some like crazy shit. Like I am amazed what people, you know, and it was so easily put together. It was just like, as long as we had like a certain cable that we needed. And then we just said, if you have the song you want to do on your iPhone, just bring it up, you know, and tell me what the name of it is and I'll introduce you. And so it was that simple to put together, and that was a blast. So yeah, I started working smart and not hard, if you will. You're still working hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still making music, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, this was a nice a shift for me to to, you know, I run the daily stuff here at the center, and, but I, you know, I love music. I still love performing. You know, I've still done stuff, even, you know, re-release something. My 9/11 song, re-released that for, you know, the families affected with COVID, and, you know, I like to keep myself busy, and, music is such a big part of my life that I'll always, you know, I always go back to it.
Yeah.
It always, you know, it's in everything. So
I remember having you on our show, early on, to talk about, the Joey DiPaolo charity, you know, and Joey.
Yeah. I mean, I've been involved. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. That's really my background is, you know, singing in church and then getting involved with community, activities, and my just how I grew up with my family and, you know, in this small town, and, from there, just getting more and more involved. And I started my nonprofit organization when I was really young, and that's how I met Joey and other people. You know, you know, now it's just, that's kind of just been my thing. Dance, music, fitness, reaching out, trying to make things better for everybody.
There's a huge, I don't know if you guys noticed it, or you will notice, I think, because, we just had a show on over here by Russell Davies, who was the guy that, wrote the original Queer as Folk. That was the British version.
Right.
And he's done a lot of different things, but he just had recently, had a show called It's a Sin. And it was about the 80s and the AIDS epidemic, and how little everybody knew, mm-hmm. and how little the government was doing for the research part of it. And even doctors and hospitals didn't know how to handle these patients, and, you know, how it was affecting different members of this, mm-hmm. of this tight little community here in London. And it was so good. And it was only 5 episodes. It was very short, but it covered so much. And it was one of those things where it's like, God, I wish everybody could see this. Like, I hate that only I'm allowed to see this,
but
I heard that HBO Max picked it up, and it's February 18th. And the thing of it is, though, mm-hmm. I just watched something today. It was like an 80s documentary that was about that. And is it an anniversary of it, or is it just getting all this attention because this is a new pandemic and they're relating,
they're trying to.
It just makes you think back to that time when it was so unknown, and there were so few charities, so, you know, and so few people would mm-hmm. even want to donate to it, to have the research done the right way, and here you were, as young as you were, starting that foundation. It's just incredible to me that you had the presence of mind to know that it was a serious thing.
Well, I mean, the foundation that I started, my organization really started because of a song called Reach Out that had, believe it or not, all of those messages in the song: reaching out, stop the spread of AIDS, you know, fight against the drugs, violence, racial tension.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that, you know, it's really important to remember that back then, those things were not even being talked about. Never mind, you know, mm-hmm. I would take musical assembly programs into schools, and we would, you know, at that time too, when I first met Joey DiPaolo was the first person that really I was ever met that said I have AIDS, and never mind, he was a young boy at that time himself. And we would go into different high schools and put on educational and entertaining programs, because that's how our message was helped to be put across. But there were some schools, I have to tell you, Denise and JD, there were some places that they weren't ready for it. And, mm-hmm. You know, back then, not everybody had a cause, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't cool to be, you know, bi or gay. And, you know, so it's like, it was a different time, you know, when I was a teenager and growing up and having this organization and really wanting to make a difference, because we were up against, you know, kind of doing things for the first time and putting those messages out there. So yeah, I don't know now. I hope that we've learned something and we can continue to just get things to be better again, because, you know, I feel like sometimes people, you know, we're on deaf ears here. There's no music or no message that can get through to some people right out there.
Yeah.
Right.
What happens, right? Like we go through a wave where we become real complacent, and then,
yeah.
And I don't even know like an eloquent way to put this, but shit gets away from you. You know what I mean? I mean, like if I learned anything in 2016, it's that when you're asleep at the wheel, like bad things happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're not involved in what's going on, whether it's in your community, whether it's local, whether it's on a big grand political scale, if you're not aware of what's happening, rug gets pulled out right underneath you, and then you got to fight harder to get things, you know, to make things better. So yeah, that was a lesson and a half. So I feel like we got a clean slate, and you know, we like you said, you have to, and Jay, you know this from just performing at Arts Garage recently, it's a whole different way of doing things. You know, your checks and your masks and your social distancing.
Oh yeah. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. That's the thing.
So I don't either.
Just adapt. Yeah, but I do think it's great that as humans, like the human race that we are, as human beings, we did adapt in a way where we carried on and businesses are still going, maybe not as great as they were before, but we figured out ways to still keep things running and keep things going. And and even like when you see kids, like Lori, I'm sure you see this all the time with the kids. It astounds me, like kids are wearing masks, little kids, and they're just doing it. They're not fighting it. They're not saying, I don't want to wear it. They put their little mask on and they go and you know, do whatever.
Yeah.
I just think it's great that we've found a way to carry on and keep going, and that the kids have done it. Cause I have two little nephews and they've never complained or anything. We told them they need to wear the masks and they're wearing them and they're doing it.
Yeah.
So
wouldn't it be nice if that carried across with the adults too? It's the same thing when you see little kids playing, you know, together in the sandbox, you know, that same thought process. Like, can't we just all get along and can't we just all do what we're supposed to do?
Right.
But, you know, as Denise said, you know,
it's so the adults that have to get the message. It's the people doing the conga line down the street that need the message.
That's because you live near the beach, man. You're in tourist central.
Annoying. They don't care.
I'm poor mom just wants to go for a friggin' bagel at Einstein's with her friend. And you got people down at the beach doing the conga line with like tropical drinks in their hands and no mask.
Right. So Lori, do you come from Jersey? Are you originally from New Jersey?
Yeah. I'm a Jersey girl all the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Long Island.
So I'm very jealous of the beach that you're at right now, because as you can see, I'm bundled in a coat, even though I have my heat warming in the car. But it's cold here in Jersey. It's not fun.
Yeah, we went through it. We had like 3 days of snow, and then it stayed frozen for like a day and a half, and now we're back to like just wet air.
I'm jealous of the cold. I miss the cold.
Yeah.
It's just
come back.
Hot all the time here.
If I could, I would. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
If I could, I would. I was in New York about three years ago for my aunt's funeral, and we couldn't even get there on time because there was a snowstorm, and like to be walking through crunchy high snow, like, wow, like I have not, you know, seen or been in this kind of environment in a really long time. It's like a ridiculous, like how you have to acclimate to it. Like for the whole week that I was there. Brutal. But you know what? Look at girls, we're surviving. I'm so happy.
Yes.
We are surviving. I feel like we might be holding you up from work. So we're going to let you go because it was fantastic having you here.
I'm so happy that we were able to catch up, and you know, really, JD, it's so nice to see you and say hello to you, and I definitely want to check out your stuff that you're doing, and hope to keep in touch with both of you again. Denise, thank you. It's so great to see you, and I owe so much of my best times to you.
Yeah, I swear, it's like the best times we had together. It's fantastic. I love you.
Yes,
go teach me how to be great.
Nice to meet you this way, Lori. One day in person.
and we're gonna be singing a song together in person one of these days.
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
All right. Stay warm. Stay well.
Okay. Take
care. She's so cute.
Again, people in cars. We should have a segment, people from cars, people in cars.
If James Corden can do carpool karaoke, we can do carpool Zoom shows.
Carpool podcasting.
But I love what she's doing. I love that it's always been a part of what she does. Like people like you guys that give back, like how you've done what you've done for the troops. And touring and entertaining them and literally paying homage to them all the time. Like, it's just, you know, I think that's fantastic. Like, that's.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's part of, I just think it takes a certain kind of person, you know, because a lot of people can be selfish with what little they have, you know.
Are
so giving with all you have, you know, it's amazing to me.
I think that it's so gratifying to use that to make others happy, you know, and use it for, if you can use it like for good causes, like Lori used her music as, you know, a vessel for her foundation for AIDS that she started. And I did it for domestic violence, an organization for domestic violence awareness, which is what started me performing for the troops. So, because I was invited to Fort Hood to perform at Stand Down Day, which was a day of awareness of domestic violence in the military. And I was invited there to perform Shelter from the Shame, which is what that song is about. And then I was invited to perform for the troops on another level. So that was how that started. So it just was like a double thing, you know, it was the domestic violence awareness led to performing for military families. So,
it's a great thing to do, you know, with it. I mean, it doesn't define your career, but it's such a nice thing to do with a part of your career. You know, it's I don't know. I just think more of people, you know, when I see them doing something for a cause, you know, like, as stupid as it sounds, we just watched the whole Framing Britney Spears documentary.
Yeah.
The fact that it was the people who brought so much attention to her unjust conservatorship, you know, like that's, again, it's a movement. And when people get involved in something, however ridiculous it might be to someone else, I have a ton of respect. I have a ton of respect. Aww. You know, I really do.
Well, you and Donna did so much too when you were at everything you did for the Pride Fests. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, our whole goal was
joy. To
promote little known things within our community, whether it was
a
book, a web series or a stand-up show or
mm-hmm.
you know, anything. So yeah, that was our way. Like that was our small contribution. But this was good. This is like, you know, one of those shows that just highlight causes and that's fantastic. Well, my friend, it's coming upon the less than a minute hour.
Okay.
Here's to you and your fancy drink.
This is my crooked cocktail glass.
Oh, wow.
Cheers,
my love. All right, episode 20 in the can. Boom.
Yes.
All right,
we can high five across the pond.
Excellent.
Social distancing.
All right, my love. I will see you next week.
Okay.
As they say, everything is going on.
It's for the children. Reach out together. love somebody. Reach out together, reach out together, reach out together and love somebody. Reach out together, reach out together.